day that you made for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to come together and to worship you and to praise your name. Thank you, God, that we are among the living, that you saw fit to give us another day to live and move and have our beginning in you. And we thank you that we are this side of eternity. We thank you. And so, Lord God, we pray that you will be with us now as we during this service, as we know that you're already here. We thank you for your Holy Spirit among us. Come now, Holy Spirit, and touch us and revive us again. Strengthen and keep us for the road again. Holy God, without you and your Holy Spirit, we cannot run this journey. So we ask you, don't leave us, Lord God, be with us. And speak word, and now a word for us. A word of God for the joy and hope. Lord Jesus, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so today, as we come and we could hear the songs, we'll hear the first song we're reading to now follow, and the other hymns that we'll sing, it will be all about following Christ as the scripture speaks to us today. And so my sermon title is Only What Is Done for Christ Will Last. Only What Is Done. And there's a little song that was made that was called It's Only What We Do for Christ Will Last. And the first verse says, you may build great cathedrals, large or small. You can build skyscrapers grand and tall. You may conquer all the failures of the past, but it's only what you do for Christ will last. And the chorus says, remember, only what you do for Christ will last. Remember, only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for him will be counted at the end. Only what you do for Christ will last. And the second verse says, you may seek earthly power and fame. The world might be impressed by your great name. Soon the glories of this life will pass, but it's only what we do for Christ will last. And so we see this, and we see this with prayer, reminding us that it's only what we do for him will last forever. Only what we do in his name certainly doesn't give us to put anything for him, but only what we do in his name will last. Will last. And there are four verses to it, but to get the gist of it, only what we do for Christ in his name will last. Whatever we do always, we do it in his name. And so this brief reflection brings it to bear. This reflection that I'm going to read brings it to bear. And it says, Pastor makes a tough decision on risking mission trip. And in his book of the Jesus Revolution, Pastor and author Lee Ellison shares a story about the tension that sometimes comes between obeying God and obeying the law of the land. A number of years ago, he and three others were traveling to a communist country where Christians were regularly being persecuted. They did not have a direct flight to their destination, so they had to stay in a neighboring country for one evening. That night, while having dinner with a few fellow Christians in that country, Anderson and his companions were approached about smuggling in some Bibles for the underground church. Anderson immediately refused to do so, pointing out that it was illegal. The Christians in that country would not take no for an answer, though. They told Anderson they would return in the morning with the Bibles that Anderson's group should ask God what they should do. Anderson writes about the tough decisions that would follow. Overnight, I made a decision. A Bible or two might be risky, but not impossible. However, I wasn't prepared for the following morning's delivery. It was a small library of Bibles, books about Christianity, study tools and videos all about Christianity. I can't truly explain why we did what we did. We divided up the Bibles and the books and the videos among four of us and loaded up every available space in our suitcases, carry on bags and purses. It was not a comfortable experience. When near our destination, the flight attendants distributed custom forms representing our names, passport numbers, and the answers to pointed questions. Were we bringing guns, narcotics, or literature into the country? The four of us sat paralyzed over what to write. If we said we were not bringing literature, we would be lying. If we checked that we were bringing books and Bibles, we would be in serious trouble. It was one of those moments where the Holy Spirit gave a simple solution that we would not have thought about ourselves. We didn't answer the question. We left it blank. I can't say that we were confident in our choice, but that's what we did. As we passed through immigration, surrounded by armed guards and immigration officers, our forms were carefully scrutinized, and all four of us were waved through. What I next remember is a secret night meeting when we turned over the Bibles and literature to Christians from the underground church. Their faces still remain with me all my life. You may want to criticize my lack of courage or condemn my actions as dishonest. For me, I was suddenly in the sandals of Peter and John, who said, "Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God." For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And so this pastor took a chance to bring Bibles that are so precious, not so much precious to many of us here in America, because we have them in our pews, sometimes in the churches in pews collecting dust. You know, people never open them. And there are other times when, you know, when those of us who open our Bibles and try to read them and see them, they're easy to get. We can get all kinds of Bibles, all kinds of interpretation, from the NIV to the to the King James, to the to the interpreters, to any kind of Bibles that we think we can get, can't we? It's easy for us. But for those Christians who cannot get Bibles, for those Christians who have difficulty getting Bibles, who just need a Bible, this was a big deal. There are many places in the world where getting a Bible, folks tear pages out. A Bible can serve a whole church or a whole community, and each person or each family can only get a couple of pages. Do you know that? A couple of chapters. Have you ever supported the Bible League? You all have heard of the Bible League. It sends Bibles throughout the world. To a small donation, they just want to read a word of hope, a word about the Lord, to know about this religion. And so we see that this gift that they've given me, this church, is something more we'll say will last for eternity. Because the words of the Bible can change lives, the scriptures in the Bible. And so we see that God continues to use ordinary people for the building up of his kingdom. And the thing about the Lord is that he is the one who calls us, and he is the one who equips us. The Lord is the one who calls us, and the Holy Spirit equips us. You see, we see that all the time. And in this Elijah story, we know that God called Elijah, and Elijah was a prophet of God, well-known prophet of God, and he did many great works for God. He was a simple man. There's nothing about Elijah before God called him, except for in 1 Kings you read Elijah the Tishbite. There was nothing about him. We don't know which genealogy is or not, but God chooses to use him like God chooses to use many of us. And then after Elijah had finished with his ministry, we see that God would send out this young prophet who was following, young man at the time, Elijah, who was following Elijah around, wanted to get a double portion of what Elijah had. He wanted a double portion. He says, "You're such a great prophet, I want some of what you have." But here's it, folks. We don't have to want what anybody else has. We are all unique in our own right, in our own way. We don't need to want to begrudge what God has blessed given to us. Do you understand that? Right? Some of us will do bridges, some of us will take Bibles, some of us will be on TV, some of us will be on the internet, and some of us will not. We don't have to worry about that. Sometimes God has told us in our own local church to do whatever we want to do. And so, Elisha was badly wanted to be like his master. The Bible says when they crossed over Elisha, Elisha said to Elisha, tell me, what may I do for you before I'm taken out? Taken from you. And Elisha said, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit. And he responded, you have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken up, it will be granted. If not, it will not. But what Elijah was saying, I can't give you a double portion of anything. But if you see me, then that means God has granted it to you. And if you don't see me, then it means that God has not granted it to you. And so we don't have to begrudge or want what anybody else has. We all have our own simple story. Some of us have big stories, and some of us, but God will use us if we allow God to use us in whatever way God can. God is always looking for people to use. Sometimes we glorify other people's stories too much, but we miss out on our own call. We miss out on our own simple call, which is unique to the building of the kingdom. Because we get caught in the sensationalism of somebody else's story. You know, many of us have books in us that we can write. Many of us have things that we can do. People that we could teach. We don't have any time to develop it because we're what? Looking at somebody else because I want what somebody else has. But the moment you want what somebody else has to serve God, you want their problems too. You just don't get the good stuff, church. If you want my stuff, you're going to get my problem. If I want Joel Osteen's stuff, I'm going to get Joel Osteen's problem. You're going to get everybody going to take the whole package. Alright? And just ask God, God, what do you want me to do? As Elijah says, if you see it, you'll get it. If not, you won't get it because God is the one who equips. God equips us to do ministry. It's the only the Lord can give us what we need for this ministry. Again, the Lord calls us individually and He equips us, uses us, and sustains us. Only the Lord who calls us, speaks to our hearts. Gentle calls. Right? Not burning bush experiences. The burning bush has been done. Has never been done again. Now, almost 4,000 years, you know, we're talking from Moses' time. There's been one burning bush. Let me tell you, church, there's not going to be another burning bush in our lifetime. It is not people have been looking. We have got our own burning bush. Doesn't look like Moses. It doesn't feel like Moses, but we're not going to be here for the next 40 years. But we have been called, and Ellen was making the point this morning about being called to do boxes, whatever it is God has called us to do. You see, I've been thinking a lot about Jesus' metaphors regarding ministry over the past few years. I've been thinking about it. First, one of the ones that comes to mind says, when one puts the hand to the plow and looks back, it is fit for it. No one who puts the hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. But what he's saying to us, when you say yes to the Lord, it's got to be for all the time. Don't put your hand to the plow and put it back. caring and found trusted servants and love. And many of you have. Many of us have, right? Many of us do that. We face personal challenges. Some people's challenges are historic for all time. The people's challenges, some of us have a means of talking about our challenges. Pastors give stories. We can give stories. Someone told me about our challenges. This is not for. So we can do that as pastors. We can hear about some of my challenges or something here when one uses it as a preaching moment. But you may not have the same form, but to be told, if I was to go around and speak to all of you, you have your challenges. Many of us have faced the personal challenges of illnesses, financial problems, tragedies, yet to continue to follow Jesus and better yet to serve Jesus. Amen? Haven't you? Many folks in the church have had death and sickness, family members lost money, lost their houses, lost their children, and yet, even in doubt or unsureness, they have continued to follow Jesus. Right? Even though their stories are not true, some of these stories you're so much you can recite it yourself. And then when you hear some people challenges, you can begin to recite. As they speak, you can speak it. But they are quiet folks whose stories you don't hear. Yet they continue to serve God as they suffer. That's what it means to take up your cross and follow me. That's what it means when you put your hands in a plow. You don't take it back. That's what it means. Oftentimes when I see somebody who's 90 or, you know, 90-something over in the church, and you know that individual has gone through ups and downs, you know, sickness or something about it, yet they would come to church. You see, I come. I always used to think that many of the folks here, but it came to mind as I was, when I was seeing Rick again, and think of this man who all he wanted to do was to come to church. Right? All he wanted to do, and now his body failed because he comes to this part of the journey in his life. You think when I brought on my iPhone a song for you, and I used to connect with you, and I brought the song that somebody sang to you, you know, sometimes I see you, and I play it. And the guy comes up with tears, and he says, I know that song that you used to sing. I used to sing the song, I took it to the nursing home in my high school, he's kidding, singing to this young man. It might be How Great Thou Art, or one of those songs. And he's very quiet now, you know. He's very quiet, and as soon as I played it, he has served God all his life. Huh? And now he's going to serve God. Take up his cross, he's taking up his cross and following Jesus. He has followed him to the end. That is even the stories, our personal narratives, how a life journey may not be even known to many. Many of us will not be reading a newspaper, won't be on YouTube, won't be in books. Yet our stories are just important to God. God has not waited this day. That says, oh, because you got married as a Savior, you're going to be like my right hand, or because you served in the food pantry, you're going to be at my feet. God does not that way. Don't worry before he says that. What he wants us to do, what he has called us to do something, is to do it faithfully and to serve him. And so we see that Jesus says, you know, James, follow me. And the Bible says, you know, let me go bury my father. The one writer says, Jesus wasn't being difficult because he wasn't being hard. And if his father had died, he wouldn't have been following Jesus because he would have been buried in him. The idea was not the understanding of that mind is that he would say, let me go home and wait till my father dies. Right? Let me go home and wait till him. And Jesus would say, in essence, you can't wait till he may be dead tomorrow, he may be dead 10 years from now. Jesus would say, as you go through, you don't wait for somebody to die to follow me, to keep doing what you need to do. Right? You keep doing even through hardship. Church is morning, because only what we do for him will last. Only what we do, all the great riches of the world that we may attain and have, when we get to heaven's door, it's not going to be there. And I'm sure of that. Because I've done enough funerals to know nothing is put in the grave. And if it is, then if you put money in there, somebody else will come and take it out. Certainly it comes down from it, take it out and put it between the grave. So nothing is going. But what we do in this world, it just doesn't mean what we do in eternity, but what we do in this world. So shipwreck, a night and a day I've been adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my own people. When you read the scriptures, danger from the Gentiles, danger to the sick. Paul gave each of his letters to see we have been beaten and whipped and so on. And yet he says, Lord, many more money. He says, and yet I'm trying to build churches. And apart from other things, I am trying to build churches. So when he writes his letter to Galatians, he knows what he's talking about. Paul knows what he's talking about. He didn't willingly answer his call. He was forced to answer his call. But the Lord will equip Paul, equip him, and then use him. And certainly God can use Paul, God can use any of us. Certainly. And so Paul said today, whether we serve Christ, we must serve Christ in a certain way. He says we've got to put away all the stuff. And you've got to look what these words, the other day was trying to read about fornication, impurity, licentiousness. You know, you can find out what they all mean. Fornication is sexual immorality, you know. They have new words, they have new meanings in the Bible. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, fraud. He says, you don't keep serve Christ in all those things. Drunkenness, envy, carousing. He said, no, we have to serve Christ in what? In contrast, he said, with the fruit of the Spirit. That means when we do for Christ, we is simple. We don't have to worry about what we should do. We should what? We should what? Know what we want. Should do. He says we should serve him in what? The fruit of the Spirit. In love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That means the test for us is higher. If you are believers in Christ, the test for us is higher than anybody else. If you're following Jesus Christ, we always have to get to a place of love, to love one another. We always have to have joy and peace. Try to seek joy. Try to find peace in situations. Have patience and kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as I bring this on, I wanted to talk about self-control. Self-control is something that we as Christians have to always seek to get. And yesterday, looking at Paul, because yesterday, Paul and I really had to, try to, and they're both, not that I'm a stargazer, but we're hearing. So, you know, hearing that we don't just say what we feel. We know that it's fine if we go to the ground. We just say what we feel. And I write on a cusp of hearing the stars. And we could just get up and say our mind. Well, you know, that's true, baby. It's that God for Jesus and self-control. So yesterday, you know, we have a piece of property that we plan to write a letter on that we have troubles with. And then, you know, we have a lot of troubles with property. The rest of the church will know at some point. A lot of dreadful. And just yesterday morning, and I'm telling you that I've got all the fruit of the Spirit down pat. I do have love down pat. Joy and peace every now and then. But self-control, I'm working on it. It's a working process. Self-control is a working process, you understand. But at least I know it's a working process. And so I'm in my house and I have two bell rings. And I have to see it. And I said, I'm bored. It's working. It's close to me. So I come downstairs to the door. And I said, yes, ma'am, and there was a woman in there, and they said, we're looking for a place to live. And I said, they look like I'm happy in the morning. And she said, oh, we saw somebody moving out of a house. The house next to the church. Somebody's moving out of house next to the school. You know where school is. She said, oh, on West Church? She said, yes, we own that house, church. And we've been trying to get the folks out. We're only about 9 minutes of the week today. They owe us a lot of rent. We've not been making this, and now we're. So I said, you sure? You're moving out, or you sure? Because I'm in my nightgown, you understand? I don't know what I'm not. And I have my head tied up. And, you know, I said, are you sure? And she said, yes. And I said, I go on car. When he gets to car early and late at night, you know, 14 months ago when I was rich, I said, go on, the people are moving up. We've got the car. I said, are you here? And he said, yes. He says, I'll come down. And so he's coming. I said, let me put on my house dress and come over tomorrow. We said, oh, Lord, that's there. But since it's here, don't pick up my crop now. Such as fitness, even a donation.